All right, everybody. We're going to go ahead and get started with our post-race press conferences, and we've now been joined by Jeff Gordon, who's been gracious enough to come and spend some time with us after Kyle Larson's dominating performance today at Bristol. Jeff, I don't even know if you had a dominating performance like that back in the day.
I don't think so.
All right, we'll go ahead and open for questions. If you have a question for Jeff, we'll work to get a microphone to you, and we'll start up front here with Jacob.
Jacob Seelman, Race Face Digital. Jeff, everybody's had so many superlatives about Kyle over the years, led 400-plus laps in two straight races here. Is there anything he can do at this point that surprises you anymore?
not really. I mean, you know, it's, you know, I've seen him race so many different types of cars and have, you know, do extraordinary things and dominate races and, you know, so to me, it's just all about, you know, what are the records that he can break, or, you know, what are the things that he can do next. And, you know, I'm just glad that he's a part of our organization and that we get to go, you know, race with him, and he's teamed up with Cliff Daniels, which I think they make, you know, just a great pairing for crew chief driver. And that was, you know, there's been a pit crew change recently, so that was big for them. And yeah, I mean, obviously with everything, you know, the loss of John this week, this was really meaningful. And you know, I just, this organization just has a way of stepping up and answering and just, you know, persevering in the toughest of times. And they did that again, and I'm really proud of that.
Larson, when he was in here yesterday, called to mind a trip that John took with them after the 2021 championship in Dubai that he found particularly meaningful. You worked with John longer than anybody. What stood out to you about him in his time with you and then later his time with Kyle at Hendrick Motorsports?
Yeah, I mean, I was in here earlier and talking about this, but you know what? I mean, worked with John for a long, long time, but you know, he just had, and I feel like, and John would probably want this to be a broader discussion about just what PR folks do, the dedication that they have, commitment, and this balance they have of connecting a team or a driver with the media, with the fans, with the sponsors. And also allowing them to stay focused on their job, and he was the best, and I get to work with the best, and so did Kyle, and now, you know, I think others that he's mentored will get to carry that on, and today we get to carry it on with a win. Yeah, I mean, he loved to travel, you know, and he loved to consume and consume life, I've really enjoyed this week talking to some folks, you know, that I haven't talked to in many years, and John just, you know, had friends from all different walks of life and loved all forms of motorsports, you know, just hearing some of those stories and things, maybe some things I didn't know or things I hadn't heard, and same, you know, with them, with some stories I was telling. So yeah, just lost a great one.
All right, we're going to go to Matt Weaver next here in the middle. Matt, raise your hand. We'll get you a mic. There you go.
Matt Weaver, Sportsnot. You've had enough dominant cars over your career that I'm sure you've had moments behind the wheel that you're waiting for the caution, you're waiting for the thing that goes wrong. I'm curious, like in a race like this where it means so much, are you kind of feeling those same feelings you might have as a driver where it's like you're waiting for Kyle to cue up, hey, vibration or something like that?
Oh, yeah. You know, you're just, as a driver, you know, in a team, you're just waiting for, and you're telling yourself, man, please no, please no, please no, but usually it does happen, right? It just, it's almost inevitable when you have a dominating car like that, that something happens, and it's almost like more often than not that the win doesn't come in a dominating performance like that. So yeah, you're feeling every vibration you know, every lap car that you come up to, you just think that something's going to happen. You got in the wall with like, I don't know, five or six to go. And so I think you're really trying to tell yourself, hey, don't make any mistakes here, but at the same time, you're really hoping that the rest of the field doesn't make any mistakes either. So, for me, I think I was just like, when's it coming? When's it coming? Because I want to get prepared because I don't want to be too upset when it does come and it never came, which, you're happy for. When you have that kind of a performance, you kind of feel like it's deserving to finish it off.
And then I think most of us outside of the sport, when we go through adversity or a tragedy, we get to call in and say, hey, we're not coming to work or we need time or whatever. And the sport doesn't move that way. And you guys have dealt with a lot of that over the years and decades. And I'm curious, like, how can you articulate, like, how challenging that is just to, hey, go to – is it cathartic in some ways to go to the racetrack or is it a challenge?
I'm going to tell you what, I can't speak for everybody on the team, but for me walking in today, it was different. It was tough. I think that we've gone through a lot as an organization over 40 years, and when you have experience in those things, you realize that what would that person want, and try to fulfill that. And I John would want us to be here racing, and would want us to. I don't even think he wants to honor him. He'd want us to not say his name at all. He wants to go under the radar and, be on, this kind of unsung hero, I guess. But there's no other way to do it any other way for a great like him. I think we've just – sometimes it's therapeutic, but it's also not really an option either, and like you mentioned. And so you just try to learn from it and grow from it and bond together as an organization, as a team together. And I think that's what John's going to do in this case for us. Yeah.
All right. We're going to go to Shane in the back. Shane, can you just raise your hand? There you go. Thank you.
Shane Connick, Charlotte Observer. Now, know you would have loved to pull off the triple this weekend, but just how special is this entire weekend when you look at Kyle's performance yesterday and today? Just for this team.
Yeah, I mean, I do know how bad he wanted it. I just think of Homestead and how close that was, and then this one was so close. But either way, I asked Kyle about it earlier, and he's like, I didn't have the best truck on Friday, so second is probably the best we could do. So he was looking at it slightly different than the way I was. But, this is a track that he's just so good at, and this organization, has traditionally put great race cars out on the track here. And so, I'm really excited to see our Xfinity team stepping up. We're bringing a lot more things in house and doing a lot more of that ourselves. We got a young driver in Corey Day, so to see that team and the cars perform at that level. When you put Kyle Larson in the car, you better win with it at Bristol. It's just kind of Bristol and Homestead. Seems like if you don't, then you've really kind of let everybody down.
And you and Kyle both obviously worked with John for a long time. What is it about? How important is it to have a PR rep who is as good as John was?
Yeah. What I loved about working with John is that, he would call me out, or, he would put an emphasis on things that were priorities, and sometimes, you get caught up in, in going week to week or things that you not always are wanting to put some of the opportunities that come your way first, because you got something else happening. And John was always great of just presenting it in a way of, hey, I think this is a great opportunity, and if we don't do it today, maybe you can do it tomorrow or another time, but you need to do it. And when he said that, then you're like, absolutely. If he believed in it, then I believed in it, and I think Kyle felt the same way when he was working with him. And it was always just a good balancing act. Plus, he loves motorsports, loved his job, and was easy to work with. So yeah, that's the kind of person that you want on your side in that role.
All right, we're going to move up front here. We're going to go to Jordan and then Dustin.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. I understand you're going to be coming at this from a biased perspective. What is better race at Bristol Motor Speedway? Last year when you had tire wear and it was kind of really into the driver's hands, or is it better this year where the best driver and team can assert themselves and kind of run away?
Yeah. I mean, I am a little disappointed today, you know, with the tire. I'll be honest. There was no fall off and no wear. We all thought there was going to be tremendous wear. And there wasn't. But at the same time, I don't like what happened last year either. You know, I wish, and I want to say this, Goodyear has a tough job. I think this car, you know, we have a heavy car, just stock cars in general. We have these high bank tracks, heavy loads, abrasive surfaces. There's just a lot of things that are very difficult for them to you know, do the things that they do to make a tire that's durable and performs well. So to ask them on top of that to please have a tire that falls off and wears but doesn't wear too much, you know, that's a tall task. So I don't envy them on that, but yeah, I went through the Indy debacle, right? And I mean, you were 10 laps pitting cautions every, and that's not good. Last year, I thought it was while probably entertaining for you in here, you know, it just completely, it took things out of the driver's hands too much. I felt like it, you know, you could say if you wanted the drivers managing it, I don't think he was. I mean, you know, you running 2 seconds off the pace is not what I think we want in NASCAR to manage a tire. So, yeah, I would take this one over. I mean, I am biased, but I would take this over that. But I still was disappointed to see how few cautions and how little fall off there was today.
Go ahead, Dustin.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. First, great as the win is, obviously. Hendrick Motorsports was built on championships, and I remember talking to you after Phoenix, and you know, last year there was work still to do. As you guys come off a couple of dominating races and have had some strong runs in the first 9 races, how much of a push is championship, even more so after not winning it the last few years, and how does what you guys have done this first quarter maybe lead to some better results later in the season?
Well, I mean, to, you know, see all four of our teams performing at a high level and consistently there each week, and you know, getting solid points to be able to relax a little bit on that. Really bummed about the 48 today, you know, with that, because man, what a great race car and weekend they were having. You know, it's being in the meetings, we have high standards, you know, and so it's been nice, and I think we've been happy, but no, we're definitely not satisfied, and I think we feel, I mean, I'll let Cliff speak for himself. I think we're still behind when it comes to looking at the 10 races in the championship. There's some real good tracks in there for us, but there's some tracks that are concerning, and we want to get to Phoenix, and I think at Phoenix right now, you know, we're not the team to beat, and we got a long way to go, luckily, and I hope we can find it. We got the best people in the business to be able to do that, and race wins like today are you know, rewarding in many ways and will motivate us, but this is not Phoenix, and I think we know that.
All right, Jeff. I'm going to go ahead with Cliff and Kyle arriving. Go ahead and let you go. And Jeff, I think I speak for this entire room. Thank you for your time today. All right. We will go ahead and move into our post-race press conference with our race winner, Kyle Larson, our race-winning crew chief, Cliff Daniels. Congratulations on a very dominating performance. We will go ahead and open for questions. If you have a question for Kyle or Cliff, go ahead and raise your hand. We'll get a microphone to you. We'll start up front with Scotty.
Scotty Sprinkle, Race Face Digital. This one's for you, Cliff. I talked with Jonathan Hassler and Billy Scott, and they both said they kind of thought it would lean more into a tire wear race, and obviously that didn't happen. I'm curious for you, Going back to yesterday, what were your thoughts after practice, and then coming to the track today, seeing the weather and everything before the green, what did you think the tires were going to be like?
I think all of us in the garage probably had a lot of speculation still. Certainly, you know, the track conditions, the temps, and even really the pace of practice yesterday was just really high, you know, really abusive on the tires for what those conditions were. Today we had a lot of direct sunlight on the track, so with that comes a bit more track temp. We had a fresh application of PJ1. It's crazy to think that the margin is that small between, you know, the tires holding up and, you know, having enough temp in them to activate whatever the juices are that makes it work out, and not shred them like it did yesterday. I don't know that we had a very strong opinion one way or the other, more skeptical, but you know, Kyle and I both looked at the track a little while before the race and thought, if anything, it had more potential to take rubber today.
All right, our next question will go to Zach Cernolino up front.
Zach Cernolino, NASCAR.com. Cliff, to your left. I'm curious, going off the tire thing, when you have a situation where you see the tires courting as much as they were, does that... You're coming into this race weekend expecting one thing. Does that give you any sort of doubt? How much does that change what your preparation for the race is, and how quickly then do you have to adapt when you go 50 laps into the race today and see that that's not the case?
Yeah, I mean, we certainly had, you know, kind of a two-part conversation around what it would look like for a rubber race. You know, it wasn't a fully rubbered-in race, but certainly the tires made it. And then the conversation around what it would be like if it was a kind of a chaos type race with a lot of tire wear. To be honest, our learning experience from last year, when it was the kind of the chaos race, was a well-balanced car was still going to give you the best potential to manage it on either side. So our focus yesterday in practice, even though we went, you know, really fast for what our run was and wore out our tires really quickly, gave us a great read on the balance of the car and a couple little things that we could just take into today, knowing that, again, either way the race could potentially go, we're just trying to set ourselves up for the best opportunity for longevity, for pace, you know, for Kyle being able to manage the runs, you know, with the tire degradation in mind. Certainly no right answer, but we were hopeful that a balanced car would present a decent potential for either scenario.
All right, we're going to continue with questions. We'll come over here to Jordan.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. Cliff, we've heard from Kyle, we've heard from Jeff about this week. From your perspective, what has this been like for you with John?
Yeah, I genuinely appreciate you asking that question. It's you know, it's been a tough week for our team for many reasons. Obviously, the most monumental of all was losing our beloved Sean Edwards. And yeah, you know, to me, just stepping back and trying to reflect on what the week has been, because we've been very zoomed into it. I was very close to a lot of conversations with John this week, even right before his passing, and just involved in a lot of the things right after. The outreach from the community, from all of the people that he's touched, you know, his network has been so big over so many years within our sport and our industry. That's been so heartwarming to see, you know, the people that loved him for so many years, the people that he impacted. And it's that way for a reason. John carried himself with a lot of joy, a lot of care for others. I can just think of so many situations in our time together where it didn't matter who it was or what publication or what media outlet or what driver, team, anybody, John had the same high level of care and concern and love for others, irregardless of who it was. And that's what made him such a joy to be around. And, you know, to lose him as a friend and a teammate is sad and tough for all of us, but it's almost brought about a little bit of peace and joy for his life to see how many people that he touched. And genuinely, I think that's his legacy. To challenge everyone to think about others that way, to carry themselves that way with so many, you know, we were talking about it this morning with our resident chaplain, Donnie Floyd. John lived out so many godly characteristics just in kindness and the grace that he showed to others. That's the impact he has on us, and I believe that's the impact he has on our community at large.
I asked Kyle and Jeff this question too, so I'm going to ask you, favorite memory?
Absolutely. He would always come up to me before every race. Hey, Cliff, When we win later and when we dominate later, you know, we're going to do this, this, and this after the race. And I'm a big don't jinx it guy, so I'm always like, John, no, you can't say when we win. Every Sunday, yeah, when we kick their ass today, Cliff, we're going to do this later. So I missed that, and I enjoyed that interaction before every race because he knew that it was fun to say, but he also knew that it would kind of twist me a little. So I appreciated that.
You did kick their ass today.
I say, I'm sure he didn't jinx today. So
he didn't jinx today. That's right.
Ask you this question. We had this race a year ago. It was a high tire wear. Drivers say that puts it in their hands, et cetera, et cetera. When you look at today's race versus last year's race, do you have a preference of what you want last year, this year, somewhere in the middle?
I've led 860 something laps the last two, so obviously I'm going to be biased to this. I just think it's more fun. Like, we're still out there managing, you know, our runs. So I don't know. I don't know. Last year was a very excessive. I mean, we were running maybe 50%, you know, throughout a run. And that was too much. But then, you know, today we're much closer to 100% every lap, but, you know, somewhere between 85 to 90%, you know, trying to still manage everything, you know, like me in the lead, like I don't want to get my stuff too hot to where when I like, catch traffic, I can't pass lappers. So, you know, I think that's why Denny and I were still able to, you know, lap a lot of cars is because we still did a good job managing our tires. Although it might, you know, be a little less wear, it's still a lot more temp related that you're managing. So I would obviously love it if it could still, like, the tire could lay more rubber and the pace would, you know, the track would get slicker. Like with Xfinity, it gets really black. And when it gets black, it's just greasy feeling and the pace slows down. Where when it's kind of a lighter gray like it is, you have the cup cars we run here, it's just, it does keep it faster pace. So I would more ask for a tire that sticks the rubber to the track because it'll have us sliding around more and like slowing down more.
Yeah, and I think my answer would be very similar. I just don't know that for the race that we want to see out of a race, that the conditions and the formula of what was the spring race a year ago is something that would be healthy from a racing standpoint. You know, to me today, man, you had lanes across the entire racing surface. You had guys slipping around. Go look at the right side of our cars, destroyed from getting through traffic and touching guys and fenders. We have donuts on the side of the car. Doing my homework this week, I watched the 2004 Bristol Night Race, one lane on the bottom. Rusty led him with the whole race until Rusty had a bad pit stop and Dale Jr. won the race. And there was no passes for the lead, not a whole lot of things that happened. There was no upper lane. To me, today's race, when the top two cars are within a second apart, navigating through traffic in every single lane that was available and bouncing off of lap cars, I know we want cautions and yellows for excitement, but from a racing purist standpoint, today's race was a heck of a race because Denny was coming. He put pressure on us. We knew it. We had to take chances. Man, that just presents such a good race from our seat. And to Kyle's point, when rubber starts to stack a little bit and you're sliding around, you know, you guys probably heard him call out one run. He overheated his right rear tire. Hey, man, right rear tire is starting to wear out some. That's great. That's what you want to see for the way, you know, it was all playing out today.
And if I could add, too, I think last spring we were all – caught off guard by it and we were all learning on the fly, you know, so that's why we were 2-3 wide and like we weren't really sure what was wearing the tires out, what lane it was. Well, by the end of it, we all learned, you know, what was wearing the tires out. So that's why I think you saw in the first 25 laps today the whole field was single file. Like, would I'm curious if fans would have thought that was exciting if we just rode in a train for, you know, 500 laps around the bottom because while running 50% and all still wearing our tires out about the same time anyways. So I just believe it's more exciting when you can let the drivers push and you know, run closer to the edge of making mistakes.
I think that's a good point. And I don't think that had we had the same amount of tire wear today as we had from the spring race a year ago, it would have been anywhere close to that level of a race. Because all we've talked about all week long coming here is, okay, now that we know it, you have to protect. So to his point, it would have very likely been a very, you know, slow single file lane around the bottom until somebody wears them out, you pit and join back into the single file lane around the bottom. I think that's how it would have gone.
All right, we're going to continue with questions. John, do you still have a question?
Yeah.
Okay. Go right here in the middle.
So kind of, John Newby, Savage Ventures. So kind of following up on those points you made, you mentioned, you know, 873 laps led in the last two races combined. What is it about, I guess, the more standard Bristol that you guys excel at so well?
I think for us, the last two races, we've qualified well, which really helps. And then our car balance is just really good. I could tell right away in practice this time around, like, my car was extremely good. And then I think, you know, too, when I spend 800 and something laps out front, like, you just become a better leader and a better, you know, driver at managing the pace and, you know, learning what it takes to set guys up and what to look for in passing and, you know, keeping that buffer to seconds. So I think just experience to go along with a good car and a track that I've really always ran well here. Just knew now I kind of have the team and car to go along with it.
And then just kind of following up on what she said about, like, the experience, watching from the press box, you could see other drivers, they'd try kind of that diamond pattern that you run, but if they would see two cars kind of spaced unevenly, they wouldn't try to put their car there, but then you would, and you would make it work.
Through the middle?
Yes.
That was kind of a new thing today that I feel like I... So when Denny got close to me sometime after the green flag stopped, like pretty early on, I went to they told me he was like ripping the very, very top. So like I went to the very top and he almost like poked to my inside through the middle. So I kind of kept that in the notebook and caught some slower cars that had split. I think the 60 was somebody I felt like I really needed to get by. And he went to the bottom, and I was able to kind of plug the middle around him. It just was really lighter colored through there. Like, there was less rubber, you know. Most where everybody's running was the very bottom and the very top, so the middle was kind of clean and had a lot of grip. And, you know, I used that to my advantage for just a couple laps, but I think if you keep running there, you just wear out your tires. So, again, we were looking after our tires today. And so, yeah, when I would make the pass, I just got back to the lanes that I thought would, you know, save me throughout the length of the run.
All right, Dustin.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. Cliff, you guys have gone through quite the range the last couple weeks, the last couple races. And I'm curious what, in a sense, better prepares makes us a stronger, better organization group for the playoffs. What you went through last week and having to go through that, or going out and kicking everybody's butt on a week like today?
I think it's a great question. And you have to see all of the different facets of, you know, a failure and defeat and using the DVP policy and all the things that we had to do there that, in my opinion, was an incredible education and learning experience for our team. There are so many valuable things that we took away just from a process standpoint and even working with NASCAR. Something I will highlight is how keen they were on us rebuilding the car with all the proper safety aspects still in the car. And daggone it, if we didn't hit the wall again in the same spot and the car was safe and all those things were done. So it was twofold in you know, a team exercise of getting a car that was, you know, put together well, back on track that we could go work on performance. Also safety with that. And then at the same time, to make a deep run in the playoffs, you have to know how to push that edge of your team to go do the execution items, to qualify well, to pit from the front, to keep it up front, Kyle managing, you know, the lanes as the leader, restarts, communication, timing, a lot of those things are just vital components. And, you know, it's crazy how this week played out for us, you know, just strictly looking at the competition side. Of course, the loss of John was a whole nother blow. But our team maintained a lot of positivity this week of knowing how much we learned and knowing how important that could be. I came in on the backside of Jeff talking about the playoffs for a company. We still do believe that there's more performance to go get at the Gateways and Loudons and Martinsville's and especially Phoenix. that we've been a little bit behind some of those other guys. So there's work out there ahead of us that we need to go get and find the little bits of performance. But certainly having the dichotomy of such a dismal Sunday a week ago and the great Sunday that we had today is important for our team. We're going to keep growing and building on it, and still a long season ahead.
And also, you mentioned going back this week and watching 2004 Bristol race. So with everything that you have to do, with all your time limited in preparation each week, why are you watching a race from over 20 years ago? Are you that big of a Dale Jr. fan?
Well, I hate to admit this, because just in my family background, I like to think of myself as a little bit of a NASCAR history buff, but I totally forgot, I think, the fact that "It's Bristol, baby" came from him from that race. So that was fun to see. Why am I watching it? I had exhausted myself on watching all of the 2023 and 2024 races. And as we're working through the week, you know, there's a lot of things going on with our week, especially this week. But it was kind of on in the background. And for me, it's a helpful reminder just to see, you know, the way the track has evolved, the way the sport has evolved, and just have a healthy appreciation for what it is that we do. There's so many, you know, veterans and people of the past of our sport that have paved the way for us to get here. The Next Gen era is certainly unique to what it is, as have many of the eras of NASCAR been. But our whole team is a team full of racers, and we have a very healthy appreciation and respect for the ones who paved the way for us to be here.
Shane Connick. Oh, sorry.
No, you're good, Shane. Go
Shane
ahead.
Connick, Charlotte Observer. Kyle, Jeff was in here earlier, and he was saying it was, you know, he talked to you about the pulling off the triple potentially, and you were like, well, I didn't have the best truck on Friday. But regardless, though, how do you put this weekend, past 2 days specifically, just in words?
I don't know. I race a lot, you know, so it's cool, you know, to win two times in a row on the, you know, same weekend. But I don't overthink it or celebrate it too much, I guess. You know, so I just love to race, and I love Bristol and was really excited about this weekend. Obviously wish I could have been one spot better on Friday to join Kyle. But, you know, regardless, I had a great time this weekend and got to lead a bunch of laps and, you know, challenge for wins and win a couple of them. So, yeah, proud of it, and hopefully get the chance to do it again in the future. You know, next year would be, you know, I'm done racing trucks and Xfinity for this year. So hopefully the schedule lays out right. Next year I can, you know, try again.
All right, Kyle, Cliff, congratulations again on your win today, and we appreciate the time you spent with us.
Thank you.